sing together tonight.
God is able.
There's going to be a meeting in the overflow section for everyone that's involved with the mission conference. If you still want to be involved with the mission conference, you can attend that meeting. If you don't know what the mission conference is, that is a time, the second week of September, where we're going to be welcoming some of our missionaries, and we're just going to focus on the awareness of missions in this church and the people that we support in foreign countries. Also, there's going to be a coffee and chores evening this Tuesday. It's going to start at 6:30. It'll only be an hour. We're just getting together, meeting here at the church for some coffee and to do some chores around the church, just kind of clean the place up a little bit and work together. I hope that you can come out. Thanks.
We're really glad you came out to be with us tonight. Welcome to Oasis. Every Saturday we get together at 7 o'clock and we sing some songs at the top of our lungs. We praise God and worship Him. And then we open up the Word of God and we see what He has for us each week. And then afterwards, after we study God's Word and hear a challenge from that, then we spend some time together, either in the back, sometimes we'll go out to eat at Applebee's or somewhere, and we encourage each other to have meaningful conversations around what we heard and what we saw in God's Word. And hopefully you'll have a conversation, you'll say, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And those are always fun conversations, and they kind of help us to grow and help us to change. So tonight is the last night for Demetrius and Tyler, is that right? You guys are leaving tomorrow? And also, Billy, you leaving tomorrow?
Monday.
So it's his last Saturday night. Anyone else going back to school or leaving soon? Caitlin? Dre? Dre, you're going back to school, but you're not leaving, right? Okay. So we've got some people going back to college and stuff like that, and so this is kind of a night to say goodbye to them. So if you see them, you know, get around and say bye, give Tyler and Demetrius a big hug, because I'm going to miss you guys. So, but we're really glad you're with us. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to know you and to seek you. Lord, we pray that tonight we would open our hearts, we would open our minds. We just kind of let go of any stress that we may have carried with us tonight, Lord, any baggage from the week or any anxiety about life change coming up in our lives, Lord, that we would just kind of let go of that. We would just let this be an oasis for us where we can rest fully in you. Lord, I pray that your peace that passes understanding would be with us tonight, Lord. I know there's people that have talked to me this week that said their grandfather has cancer. And I know another good friend of mine, a family member here, Lord, that I lost a good friend in a car accident. God, I pray that you'd give them peace in their heart. But I pray tonight we'd minister to one another through song, through your word, and we would just wrap our arms around each other and let each other know that we have each other's back, Lord. And that we're going to follow you no matter what. Regardless of what the world around us is doing, we are going to stay true to you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
What I long for, holiness.
what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Sing faithfulness. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, to give us eternal life, to bring us back into his family. We were so far away from you, God, on a path, on a trajectory that was just leading straight to death and destruction, and you intervened. You took the hit for us, God, and we praise you for that. We thank you for coming into this world, for becoming flesh, so that we could know you. Lord, without that, we would be completely and utterly lost. Lord, tonight we pray that you would hear our songs, you would hear our praise, and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that makes this heart adore you. The hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Of all days, oh, so highly exalted, Lord. and we're all together loving, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon.
How many of you tonight have ever played Angry Birds? Okay? Oh my gosh. How many of you tonight are so sick of Angry Birds that you just would rather the pigs just win? Yes, okay, thank you. You're with me. I hate Angry Birds. My kids, they want to play Angry Birds all the time, and Angry Birds this, Angry Birds that. It's so over popular. It's like all over the place. There's Angry Birds on your computer, and Angry Birds on your Xbox, and Angry Birds everywhere. It's just ridiculous. My wife's like, we got to get it for Xbox. I'm like, we have it on our phones and on the iPad and on the computer. We do not need more Angry Birds. The last thing we need is more anger and birds in our home. But the one thing that's cool about Angry Birds is it's made science just a little bit more cool, all right? Who likes science tonight? Anybody? Go ahead, raise your arm if you're sure. It's an old reference. Okay, we love some science, right? Who knows what a trajectory is? Okay, some of you lied about liking science. It's okay, it's all right, you know, we won't tell. A trajectory is that line that is left after you launch the bird, okay? So, you know, you pull the bird back, and then you launch the bird, and it goes flying, you know, across the screen. And there's this, like, arch. There's this line that's drawn across the screen as it arches towards the evil pigs to destroy them, right? That is called the trajectory. And it's that trajectory. It's how far back you pull the bird, how much energy and what angle you're aiming it, that trajectory changes, okay? And trajectories, it's such a hard word to say. I'll get it. I'll just keep saying it until I get it. Trajectory. Everybody say trajectory.
Yes, it's not as easy as it looks, is it? Right? So, but tonight I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and talk about the trajectory of your life and my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have an ESV, it's on page 961. 961. 1 Corinthians is right before 2 Corinthians, if you're looking for it. So if you get to 2 Corinthians, you went too far. Or it's right after Romans. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse number 20. It says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. Then at the coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power." We're going to stop there. I want to go back up to verse number 21. "For as by man came death." What does that mean? As by man came death. We've talked about this before, but maybe you haven't heard it before. In the Old Testament, there's a story at the very beginning of the book. It's called Adam and Eve, the Genesis story. God creates man on the sixth day, and he puts him in there, and he says it's not cool for man to be alone, so he gave him a naked woman to hang out with. This was God's intention for humanity. It was a beautiful, wonderful thing. We were supposed to have a wonderful life eating fruit and running around naked. Like, I don't know if it gets much better than that. And just having a wonderful relationship with God. And he said, you can eat of anything you want in the garden except for this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because you eat of that, then your innocence will be shattered. And no longer can you do all these great things that you enjoy. Our relationship will be broken. And of course, Adam and Eve, they eat of the tree they're not supposed to. And God told him, if you eat of this tree, then you will surely die. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. And what happened to man that day and his wife is they died. They died. The spirit inside of them died. And from that point on, death was passed to all humanity. Adam and Eve's kids, when they had children, they were born with that same image of a body, physical flesh, a soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, and a dead spirit. They were disconnected from God. Some faiths call it original sin. But the truth is we were born on a trajectory that was pointing us straight to death and destruction. We were born. That was our outset. That was our path. That was the road that we were born into this world on. And that's what this is saying. It says, by man came death. By man also has come the resurrection of the dead. What's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus Christ. It says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And it's awesome. The Bible teaches our trajectory is death, that our destination is destruction. Before birth, it was already determined and it was already seen that we were going to make all kinds of mistakes and get in all kinds of trouble and eventually lead ourselves. If we led ourselves and steered our own lives, we'd steer ourselves right into a wreck. You know, many Americans believe that we set our own trajectory. This is the American philosophy, right? How many of you tonight have heard, you gotta pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? You heard that one before? Anybody? Am I just too old? Go ahead, raise your hand. I can't see the nodding, it's really dark. Thank you, okay, I'm not alone out here, right? You pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. You gotta work. How many of you heard you can have anything you want if you work hard enough? This is American philosophy, right? This is what we believe as a society. It's called the American dream. And, you know, we believe that hard work, determination, you can achieve any trajectory you want. But, you know, other cultures teach very much opposite things. They really do. They teach that your family, this family status that you were born into, the marriage that was arranged for you, the place you were born into, that all determines your trajectory. And there is no possible way for you to get outside of that trajectory. Case in point, Cinderella. Who knows the story of Cinderella, right? Okay. She's a maid. Can she ever become the princess? Absolutely not. She cannot become the princess because she's not born into a princess-like family. She is a maid. She's dumpy. She's like got to clean floors and stuff. Maybe she's not dumpy. That was her sister's in the Disney version. But I will take artistic liberty. Hey, you guys look up here, okay? I'm telling the Cinderella story. It doesn't get much better than that. So Cinderella, though, she's on this trajectory of being a maid, like serving other people her whole life. Why do we love those kind of stories? And then something happens. Something magical happens that transforms her trajectory and changes her path. And now she can be a princess. It's awesome, right? We see this all the time. The guy who's born in his puny and Captain America. Who saw Captain America? Yeah, you guys see this? Captain America, he's the puny kid. He gets beat up all the time like me, you know, and then something magical happens. He meets a mad scientist. And next thing you know, he looks like John Hammer. You know, and he's all big and bulky, and now he's like, yeah, I'm so strong, you know, and he runs like Billy. So, you know, we love these stories because something magical happens that radically changes someone's trajectory from what it was supposed to be into something new and special. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Our generation hates this whole stuff of your trajectory is determined for you. We say, don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what I can or cannot do. But you know, amazing studies have been done. Amazing studies in the area of behavioral economics and stuff. These guys, they write awesome books. And I know I'm really like a nerd because I read this stuff. But Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers. You should check it out. Malcolm Gladwell has an awesome fro. It's like about the size of Demetrius's fro. Because he's like this skinny little white dude. He looks so funny. Like, you wear it well, I'm just telling you. But Malcolm Gladwell, he writes this book, and the first thing he writes about in the book is hockey players, Canadian hockey players. And he does this study about the birthdays of Canadian hockey players. You with me? This is awesome, isn't it? Matt's the only one paying attention, because Matt's the only one that likes hockey. No. He does this study, and most of the all-stars on the Canadian hockey teams, the best hockey players, their birthdays are all towards the beginning of the year. Like January, February. He's like, why? Why are all the all-stars have their birthdays like in these first few months? He starts to study it, try to figure it out. And he finds that in Canadian hockey, in like the Little League hockey, you know, the cutoff date is January 1st. So say you gotta be 6 years old to play hockey. Well, at January 1st, if you're 6 years old, you get into hockey. So say, Brian, you turn 6 on December 31st, right? Okay, Brian turns 6 on December 31st. So January 1st, he's 3 days old at 6. He's like, he's just been 6 for 3 days, okay? But what about the kid whose birthday was January 14, like me? I've been 6 a whole year. And now, January 1st, I'm still 6 years old, but in just a couple weeks, I'm going to be 7. Who do you think the bigger kid's gonna be? The kid who's had a whole year of growth, a whole year of development. Who do you think's gonna be faster and more coordinated? The kid who's had a whole year of development. Who do you think the coaches are gonna spend more time on? The kid who's bigger and faster, more coordinated. And so they find that all the all-stars, statistically, it's this crazy anomaly, they all have birthdays at the beginning of the year. It's like, whoa, who picks your birthday? Mom and dad don't even pick the birthday half the time. It's like, well, it happens when it happens. But because of when their birthday was, determined whether they were going to be a hockey all-star or not. Whoa. Our trajectory is set for us in a lot of ways. Now, that's not the only thing that determines our trajectory. And I'm not trying to tell you that you can't change anything in your life and that you shouldn't do hard work. All that stuff's great. But we have to realize that maybe some of our philosophy around I am what I am because of the choices I make. It might be flawed. It might be flawed. And I want to tell you a story and give you an example of this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's in the Old Testament, so flip your Bible back there. It's on page 151 in your Bible. If you have an ESV tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You'll find it right there. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is an example of this. And I'm going to start in verse number 10. This is God talking to the nation of Israel. He's just given them like the Ten Commandments and the law and the stuff, and he's still giving them instructions for when they get into the promised land. And he says, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God. You shall fear him. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, a jealous God, lest his anger, the anger of the Lord your God, be kindled against you and he destroy you from off the face of the earth." What is the warning here in Scripture? He's telling them, you're going to have these awesome blessings. Like, God's going to give you all kinds of great stuff that you didn't earn, you didn't work for. He's just going to bless you tremendously. And what is the warning here in blessing? The warning is, take heed, take care, lest you forget. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. We're the most forgetful people in the world. Because we're so focused on what's new and what's now that we totally forget the history and the stuff behind us. I almost didn't want to use Angry Birds tonight, right? Why? Because it's so old. You know, I'm like, that wouldn't be a cool illustration. That is so dated. Like, that's so, like, last year. I mean, who plays Angry Birds? You know, and I'm thinking that way. We get ticked off when NBC doesn't show the Olympics live 24/7 halfway around the world. We're like, we ought to have this time delay. It was all over Twitter. Like, everybody's just bellyaching. Whoa, we didn't get to see it. And they're cutting stuff out. And like, we're mad at this stuff because it's not live, you know? I hear about an earthquake in California on Twitter, and then I turn on CNN, and they're not talking about it. I'm like, this is garbage. CNN is junk. Like, what is this? We're so impatient. We're like, now, now, now. I want it now. I want to order something. Well, can I get it tomorrow? No. You got to pay next day shipping. Amazon Prime, awesome, right? You pay $75, you get 2-day shipping, free shipping on stuff. They're making a killing. Why? Because they're selling instant gratification. They're selling instant gratification. I want it right now. We so forget things, and then you get it and you completely forget about it. There used to be daily papers, right? There would be like, and I think there still are in some places, but there would be like a morning and an evening edition. And then if something crazy went down, there would be like a special edition. Anybody remember that? Like, I don't. But we didn't get the paper. We were too poor for that. But some of you guys remember that, you know, and it's like, wow, you know. But now, that's ridiculous. As soon as radio came in, we have an incoming message, you know. And it's like we want it right now. We get the news right away. You're going to get all these blessings, he warns them. And he says, don't forget that I was the one that changed your trajectory. That God was the one that changed your trajectory. Some of you guys know kind of my backstory and where I came from and stuff, but I want to share with you kind of some family story tonight. My mom grew up in a town in Arkansas called Knoxville, Arkansas. Okay, and I looked at the census information. In 1990, it had a population of 374. Okay? It makes Footdale look like a sprawling metropolis. Okay? Like, it's this podunk little town. There's not even a street light. Okay? There's no street light or anything. You know, it jumped up. It grew tremendously in 1990. It jumped to 700 people in the whole town. But she grew up in this tiny little town, and my grandfather worked at a brick factory. And I asked my grandpa about this, and he kind of told me, but the story was sketchy. And for some reason, he got laid off. I don't know if it was because he was injured or if it was just depression stuff or they didn't have the money or what. But he got laid off from the brick factory. And he had married a preacher's daughter, Dorothy Alderson, my great-grandfather, oh, what was, his name was Grandpa, like Grandpa Alderson. But that's what I remember. I'll have to ask my mom. But he was an old Baptist preacher. He always smoked a pipe. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But he always had like tobacco on his shirt. That, anyways, that's not part of the story. But my grandpa married my grandmother, who was a preacher's daughter. And after he got laid off from the factory, you know, I don't know, I think it was an injury because he was having trouble sleeping. And he couldn't fall asleep at night. And so somebody had told him to try a hot toddy. Okay? Anybody know what a hot toddy is, a drink? Yes? Some of you guys out there know. You're not going to raise your hand in church and tell everybody you know what a hot toddy is, right? It's okay. Here's the recipe if you want to make one at home. Just don't tell me about it. It's 1 cup of water, 1 cup of lemon juice, 1.5 cups of whiskey, 1.5 cups of honey, and 4 cloves. And this thing is supposed to make you feel all relaxed and help you fall asleep. Okay? So my grandpa started drinking one of these every night when he'd go to bed. And then next thing you know, he's drinking 2 hot toddies before bed. And then the next thing you know, I don't think he was doing the honey and the lemon stuff. He was just drinking straight whiskey. And it wasn't long before he was just an alcoholic. He was drinking away his problems. I don't know if it was the pain from his injury or just the depression from losing his job or what. But he became an alcoholic. And my grandpa wasn't a fun drinker. He was an angry drunk, and he was violent, and he abused my mom and my aunt and my grandmother. My grandmother became an alcoholic so that when she was drunk, she didn't have to see what was going on and deal with that stuff. And my mom told stories, you know, of him dragging the whole family in the living room and saying, "We're going to shoot you all. I'm just going to kill you all and get it over with." And he shot holes in the floor as they tried to wrestle the shotgun away from him. And my mom said that she used to hide in the closet in their bedroom because they didn't want him to find her and her sister. And they would pray, "Dear God, help. God, if you are real, help." And it wasn't long after that that my great-grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Alderson, they sold the farm where they lived, which was like 3-4 hours away, and they moved to Knoxville, Arkansas, right next to my mom. And when they got there, they told my mom was like, why did you sell the farm? Like, that was your life. And they said, "We just felt like God wanted us to be near our grandbabies." It was cool. And it wasn't long after that that they saw what was going on. They realized, and they got my mom out of there, and she came to live with them. My aunt had already ran away from home at about 13 years old. And God intervened in the trajectory of my mom's life. He intervened in the trajectory of my mom's life, and I grew up hearing this story. And I've never touched alcohol because this is part of my family history. This is part of my story. And it radically transformed my mom. My mom grew up to become a missionary and travel halfway around the world. She got a college education. Like, she came so far away from that mess and that stuff in that tiny little town. And at my grandpa's funeral, they brought in this old guy, a preacher, and he preached this message, and I wanted to punch his face off. I did. Because he said my grandpa was a great man, he was a good father and a good husband, and all this garbage, and I was just clenching my fists because I was ready to just jump over the pew and just take him out. You guys get feel me, right? And I didn't do it, but I got an opportunity to speak at the gravesite. And I said, you know, a lot of lies were said today about Grandpa. Grandpa was not a good guy. Grandpa was a wicked, evil man. Now, the grandpa that I knew later on after he got sober, he was pretty cool. And I had some good memories with him. But Grandpa did a lot of bad stuff. But the great thing is that as I look around at my family today, at my aunts and uncles and my cousins, my mom and my dad, we are not Grandpa. We are not that. I am not that guy, because that could be me. I could be the abusive one, terrorizing my family, totally in an addiction to alcohol, consumed That could be me. 100 times over, that could be me. And that could be anyone in my family. That could be you. But God intervened miraculously in the life of a 9-year-old little girl and transformed my trajectory. It's like I was on a road with a Mack truck heading straight for me. Because you guys get this, generational stuff happens. In the Old Testament, it even says that God will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children and the children's children after. And it's not that God hates us. It's that that's what happens when we submit ourselves to sin. It could be us. Some of you have brothers or sisters who are in a drug addiction. Or that aunt that's the crazy cat lady. That could be you. Who knows? We've been in a relationship after relationship, destroyed, broken, messed up. That could be you. That could be me. Maybe that was you. But God has the power to change and transform our trajectory. It's like we're on a road with a Mack truck coming at us. And you've seen the movies, right? And the guy comes running and he pushes the kid out of the way. Takes the brunt himself, gets hit by the truck. And that's what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for me. He collided with our life to transform our trajectory. He came to earth to become human, to take the hit for you and for me so that we could have a different trajectory, not a trajectory that leads to hell and death and destruction and a wreck, but a trajectory that leads to life. Abundant life and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus offers us. When we call on God, you know, I think some of us are scared. We're like, I don't want to do the whole Jesus thing because I see Jesus people and they live Jesus lives that are a little different. And I don't want to do that because it's gonna be a collision and it's going to change me. And I don't know if I want that change. You do. You want that change because without that change, who knows where you will go? Who knows where you will go? You could be certain that you are only here tonight because Jesus has taken a hit for you. You're here by God's grace to hear God's message for your heart. He's intervened to change the path of your life to bring you to a place so you can hear him. I absolutely believe that with all my heart, not because I'm someone special, but because God is awesome. And that's how he works. He died for your sins, your mistakes, your choices to save you from certain death. But you know, some of you just don't remember. You don't remember. It is so easy for us to say, God, do you see the car that I have to drive? Really? Do you see the house I gotta live in? God, look at my marriage. Are you seeing this? This is what you wanted for me? And we're ticked off about stuff. We're ticked off about our relationship. We're ticked off about the shoes or the clothes we have to wear. I can't even afford shoes. I'm just kidding. But you know, we're ticked off about stuff. Why don't I have a cool iPhone? Why don't I have this? Why did they get that, God? And we're ticked off and we totally forget the amazing transformation that God has done, like a linebacker into our life to push us and bring us so we can even hear his message. You could have been born in a place where you didn't hear his message, where you didn't know God. You could have been born in a place where even to say the words Jesus Christ could get you shot and killed. But you weren't. You weren't. And all of us have different family histories and stories. But we need to look back. We need to turn back the pages. The creator of all the universe took a hit for you so you could know him. And all you can say is, Jesus, I really wish I had more stuff. I really wish I had more stuff. And we complain because the biscuits are slow at Red Lobster. And we complain because we don't get all the channels that we want on our TV. We do. We complain because it's hot outside. Because I gotta do chores. Because I got to live here or there. A right perspective should make us drop to our knees in thanksgiving to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. I want to kind of bring it all together here. It says, when your sons ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Because it's going to happen, right? I know I do this. I came to this moment with my dad where I'm like, Dad, what is all this Jesus stuff? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go to church? Why do I have to do that? Why do we have to pray? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we got to, why? I want to know why. And we come to this moment, and some of us do that. We rebel against, why? I don't want to do that stuff, God. Why? When they ask you about the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that your Lord, your God, has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he commanded us. We were slaves. We were a mess. Someone launched you on a trajectory of destruction. Let's all stand together, and I'm going to ask if you'd just bow your head and close your eyes, just to give people around you some privacy and give yourself some privacy, some thought room. I want to ask you a couple of questions tonight as we bring this to a close. Have you had that encounter with Christ? This is my first question for you, because it's the most important question you could ever answer. Have you had that kind of encounter with Christ? He has radically transformed your trajectory. What does that mean? That means that you've come to God, you've confessed, you've made mistakes. I have chosen to screw up, God. I have made bad choices. I have sinned against you. And you just admitted that to him. And said, God, please help. Just like my mom in that closet, help me. That's all it is. If you've done that, then I promise you that Jesus will come like a linebacker into your heart and save you and rescue your soul. I want to encourage you to not throw your life away. Don't just accept the trajectory you were born with, but instead give it over to God. Say, God, I want you to radically transform my flight path, my destination, where I'm going. I know my choices will take me to the wrong place, but I want you to come in and just radically, miraculously blow that away. And he will. He will. Don't leave tonight without making that choice. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Joe. Reach out to somebody that you know is a Christian that knows God, and they'll walk you through it. What about you, brothers and sisters? The ones who know Jesus tonight, who say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I know God. Maybe you have forgotten the wreck that Jesus saved you from. I know it's easy for some of us who grew up in a Christian home to say, well, God didn't save me from all kind of crazy stuff, because I wasn't in that when I got saved. No, you just don't understand. God saved you not from what you were. God saved you from what you could have been. God didn't save you from what you were. God saved you from what you could have been. And if you look at your family, you look at your history, I bet you could see what you could have been real easy. And we owe him respect. We owe him gratitude. We owe him thanks. That should throw us on our face before God and say, thank you for rescuing me from that. From that mess. Jesus says, I gave you eternal life, a relationship with me, and yet you choose because it is a choice. You choose to be miserable in the wilderness, wasting your time griping and complaining. I got good news for you tonight. The Father is full of grace and forgiveness, and he's standing with his arms wide open tonight to you, Christian. He says, I forgive you. Just come back. Come on back in my arms. Let's rebuild this relationship. Let me teach you how to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving so that you can worship me. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for radically intervening in our hearts, for transforming us. God, I know some of the stories of the people here tonight, and you have done miracle after miracle after miracle that we could even come on a Saturday night together and sing praises to you, Lord. You are amazing. Thank you. Lord, I pray for those that are going back to school that you would protect them, that you would guide their trajectory. Lord, I pray for those tonight who have not let Jesus collide with them, who have not invited him into their life. I pray they would do that tonight, Lord, that they would just say, help me, God, and you would hear them. Lord, I pray we would be thankful. We would remember you, remember what you saved us from, the potential that we could have been, and just praise you and thank you every day for that. God, you are good. You are awesome. And we lift up praise and glory to you tonight. In Jesus' name. Well, every week we take up an offering. We do it a little bit different than some churches. We're not, at Oasis, I don't run around with the plate and say, give money. Although I hear that's pretty effective. There's a plate in the back on a stool, and we encourage you to take part in giving. What is that? Giving is exercising your giving muscle. It's taking the stuff you have and saying, it's not mine anyways, it's yours, God, so I'm going to give a portion of it back to you. It's just an exercise of, it's not mine. It's to help you fight greed in your life, much like Thanksgiving is to help you fight complaining. And so I encourage you to take part in that. That's between you and God. Afterward, we're going to go back in the back, and I have a special treat for you. What do we have for snack tonight? What's that? It's out front. That's right, because they just did the floor. What do we have for snack?
Cupcakes.
We have cupcakes. Did Miss Darlene make those or bring them? Miss Darlene brought cupcakes, but there's an extra special treat. Wait for it. I made homemade fudge. I did. I personally made homemade fudge, and you have to try it out. It has a magical ingredient in it. You can taste it, and then come to me and tell me if you think you know what it is. But let's close in a song tonight. I'd like to sing Take My Life one more time, a verse of that, and then we'll be done.
Yeah.
lobby. Make sure you have an important conversation with someone.